Our scripture text this evening is found in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll be reading the first 18 verses of John 10. But once you find John 10, stick your bulletin there and turn over also to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, there's many places in the Old Testament to go to see this imagery about shepherds and the sheep. In fact, I had half a mind just to start reading Scripture this evening. We're going to hit many places, but I just chose Ezekiel 34. So our text is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, but I'm going to begin reading in Ezekiel chapter 34. I'll read the first 24 verses. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep are scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries, and will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." Turn over to John chapter 10. Where Jesus says these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep shall hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. For there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Thanks be to God for His Word. I recently read a story of some missionaries who were in Africa, and they were walking along the beach when they noticed three shepherds brought their sheep to the water. And they allowed their sheep to go into the water and take a bath in the salt water. And after a few minutes, these three shepherds' sheep got all mixed together. As they were coming in and out of the water, these missionaries couldn't tell which sheep belonged to which shepherd. There was no identification marks that they could see. The sheep all looked to be about the same. But after a few moments, each of the shepherds started to walk in different directions. And while they did, they were singing softly or talking in a low voice. As soon as the sheep heard their shepherd's voice, they got up and started following their shepherd. The sheep knew who their shepherds were, and they followed their voice. This is probably an everyday occurrence for many places in the world. But for us who only see shepherds in Christmas plays, this is an amazing thing to hear about. Sheep following their shepherd's voice. But it's precisely this understanding of sheep and the shepherds that Jesus uses in our text this evening. Sheep who know their shepherd's voice. And true shepherds who lead their sheep. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think with me this evening about that one shepherd, the Lord's shepherd. We're going to do that in three points this evening. First, the good shepherd. Second, the good voice. And also, the good door. May we, brothers and sisters, hear our voice of our good shepherd and experience the blessings of going in and out of His good pasture. But before we think about this good shepherd, we need to put this story in a little bit of its context in John's Gospel. In John chapter 9, there is a story of the man who is born blind, and Jesus heals him. But when the religious leaders find out about it, they question this man. But they also question the man's parents. Was he really blind? Because this man is going around saying that Jesus has healed him. The religious leaders didn't think that was even possible. So that man was cast out of the synagogue. Just for confessing Jesus to be the Christ, he was excommunicated from the people of Israel. That's exactly how chapter 9 ends. The Pharisees excommunicating this man, and then Jesus telling the Pharisees that they are the ones that are guilty. Even though they can see with their eyes, they are the ones that are blind. So Jesus says in chapter 10 is addressed to those Pharisees, to those religious leaders, but also to that man born blind and anybody else that was standing around. So what does Jesus say to this crowd? First, that he is the good shepherd. Now, earlier I mentioned that the scriptures are full of this imagery of sheep and shepherds, to not only describe the relationship between Judah and God, but also between the religious leaders and the people of Israel. Listen to how Jacob speaks in Genesis 48. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. David begins Psalm 80 with these words, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." As we hear the story of the Exodus, how Israel was brought out of Egypt, there are many ways like sheep following their shepherd into the promised land. A shepherd that protected his people, provided for them with water and bread and meat. A good shepherd leading them to good pasture in the promised land. But not only was the Lord the shepherd of Israel, God also appointed under shepherds to lead God's people. This is how Joshua was described in Numbers chapter 27. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." And we're told later in the Old Testament the judges and the kings of Israel were seen as shepherds of the people. They were to protect the people. They were to make sure they were fed and nourished. They were also to lead God's people in the observance of God's law. So you can see how this imagery of shepherds and sheep flows throughout the Old Testament especially. And it was used by God to point to that one good shepherd to come, that man, Jesus Christ. The things didn't always go so well in Israel, did they? Quite often, Israel's shepherds failed them. They were unable to be the shepherds God called them to be. Children, imagine if your parents left you home with a babysitter while they went out on a date. And before your parents left, they gave the babysitter a lot of money to get you a really nice dinner that was going to be delivered. You're going to be fed well. What if instead of buying you food, the babysitter bought all the food for herself, threw you out in the backyard with a loaf of bread and closed the door, and she just sat on the couch and watched TV all night? What would your parents say when you told them what happened? Would they be happy with that babysitter? No, they would not. They would not do their job. This is exactly what happened with the shepherds of Israel. They were given a responsibility by God, and that they failed time and time again to shepherd God's people. They used their power, they used their authority for their own personal gain, without the sheep in their minds. Remember those very harsh words that I began Ezekiel 34 with? Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you ruled over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Israel's shepherds were not doing their job. And so God continually sent prophets to those shepherds, telling them this is what the Lord has called you to do. The shepherds didn't even come close to being the shepherds that God had over His people. So in Ezekiel 34, verse 10, the Lord says, I'm against the shepherds. That's it. I'm done. I have no use for these shepherds any longer. So Jesus confronts the Pharisees in John chapter 9 and chapter 10. That's in the background. These shepherds of Israel that have not been doing their job. They excommunicated somebody who confessed Jesus to be Lord. They put burdens on the people that they could not keep. They were not being good shepherds. How does Jesus begin in chapter 10? He begins by saying there are thieves and robbers amongst the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, he says in verse 8 as well. So Jesus immediately puts into the mind of his hearers this picture of somebody climbing over the wall to get into the sheep pen. Now that person can't be the shepherd of the sheep. He must be a stranger, in fact, a thief and a robber. How do you normally get into your house? Usually you either walk through the front door or you open the garage and go in that way. What if you were driving down the street and saw somebody climbing into a side window? You'd probably immediately call the police. The house is being robbed. There's a robbery in progress. And when the police come, and if that's the owner of the house, he'd have to explain to them that his keys are on the table. He was just trying to get into his house. It's not the normal way to get into your house. So that's what Jesus is pointing his finger at the religious leaders. They climbed in over the wall. They are not true shepherds of Israel. In fact, they're thieves and they're robbers, feeding themselves, getting fat off of the sheep they were entrusted to care for. Remember what Jesus called the religious leaders in the temple when he threw them out, the money changers? What did he call that place? A den of robbers. This was a problem with the religious leaders, those shepherds of Israel, from a very early time. And even when Jesus was on earth, they were still not the shepherds they were supposed to be. Ezekiel in chapter 22 says this about Israel's shepherds. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. The shepherds themselves had turned into wolves, killing the sheep. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 12, that the shepherds were to protect the sheep. They were to protect the sheep from the wolves, not to kill the sheep. This is how bad things had become in the Jewish religious establishment of Jesus' day. In Matthew 23, we have recorded Jesus' seven woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. And the first woe fits with our text this evening. When the scribes and the Pharisees went across the seas to make a convert to Judaism, did they make him a good sheep? And what does Jesus say? You make them twice the child of hell as you are. The Jewish religious leaders were creating more wolves. They were not finding sheep. Jesus would go on to say that the Pharisees were hypocrites and liars. They killed the prophets whom God sent to them. These were the shepherds that God had put over his sheep. So Jesus, or God says in Ezekiel 34, that's it. I'm done. I've had enough with these false shepherds. Well, God was going to do something for his sheep. I hope you noticed when I was reading that passage of Ezekiel 34, all the times that God said, my sheep. These were God's sheep that he was talking about. His sheep. Those, that little word, my, makes all the difference, doesn't it? These are God's sheep. So he's going to intervene. He's going to take control of this situation. So what was God's plan? Well, listen to what God says in Ezekiel 34. I will rescue my sheep. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will bring them out. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. I will seek the lost. And I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. In fact, God says, I myself will be the shepherd of my people. Everything that the shepherds were supposed to do and failed, God was going to take upon himself to do. He was going to come down and be the shepherd of his people. How was God going to do this? Verse 23 of Ezekiel, and I will set them up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. God said that he himself was going to be Israel's shepherd. And he was going to set over them that one shepherd, Jesus Christ, the God-man, would be the shepherd of God's people. That's exactly what happened. God became incarnate and he came down to shepherd his people. Jesus Christ calls himself that good shepherd in verse 14 and 11 of our text. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Isn't that amazing? God himself became the shepherd of his people. No longer was he going to let that happen by the kings or prophets. He himself was going to come down and shepherd his people. No longer will there be false shepherds. No longer will the wolves come in. No longer will the shepherds themselves be killing the sheep. The good shepherd has come. So how does Jesus describe this good shepherd? Ultimately, the good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't run away when the wolf comes. He doesn't flee in the face of danger. Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep. And when Jesus says this, he's stating a fact. He's not saying, I might lay down my life for the sheep. He doesn't even say, I will lay down my life for the sheep. He's stating a fact that was true right there. He was, at that moment, laying down his life for the sheep. And Jesus says that it is him himself who lays down his life. He has authority to lay down his life. He does it on his own accord. Paul in Philippians 2 says those beautiful words, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Even before going to the cross, Christ was voluntarily suffering, humbling himself, laying his life down for the sheep. But Christ is also speaking here about that ultimate laying down of his life that happened on that cross, when he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's shepherd did what only that good shepherd could do. He died for the sheep. He died for us as that sheep. Christ was not a hired hand. He did not flee in the face of death like Israel's shepherds had in the past. He didn't even flee in the face of God's wrath being poured out on him for our sins. Instead, he was silent, like a lamb being led to the slaughter. In fact, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was laid the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes, we were healed. All the sheep have gone astray. We have all turned, everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. From what we heard earlier, what shepherd of Israel would have done that for the sheep? None of those shepherds of Israel would have done that. But the good shepherd was slain for the sheep. Those shepherds of Israel killed the sheep, Jesus Christ. Put him on the cross. But the death of Christ, the good shepherd, would not have the final word, would it? But Christ also had the authority to raise his life up again, as God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. This work of the Lord's shepherd was also pleasing to his Father. Verse 17 of our text, "For that reason the Father loves him." Christ did the work that his Father told him to do. Christ came down with a specific mission here on earth. In fact, as Christ said, "This charge I have received from my Father." And God was well pleased with his Son, the Good Shepherd. Which brings us to our second point, the good voice. Now we all recognize the voices of those we love. If you're a child and you're doing something wrong, and you hear your father's voice, you immediately stop what you're doing because you know your father is nearby. But if you're lost amongst the sea of people and you hear your mother's voice, joy comes into your heart and you start running towards your mother's voice. You recognize her. You can't wait to see her again because you're lost. Well, sheep are the same way. Remember that story I started with? All the sheep needed to do was hear that low voice of their shepherd. And they immediately started following them. Jesus says in verse 5 that the sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they run away. It's not a familiar voice. It could actually be the voice of a thief or a robber or somebody who's going to do them harm. But Christ's sheep know his voice. They hear him when he calls. What a beautiful picture of our good shepherd calling us with his voice, and we hear. But he also knows our name. He calls us by name, and we hear him, and we follow him. Later in John 10, verse 27, we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Christ, as the Good Shepherd, will protect us, because God has given us to him. We are his sheep, and we always will be. Nothing, nobody can snatch us out of Christ's hand. We all hear the voice of our shepherd. Everybody in the world hears their shepherd's voice. But the question is, who is your shepherd? Is your shepherd a false shepherd? A thief and a robber who is in shepherd's clothing? Or is your shepherd the good shepherd, the one who is known and loved by his Father. The shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Brothers and sisters, if you don't hear the call of your shepherd, then ask for the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear that voice. So you can hear and listen to that good shepherd's call. And there's a warning for you this evening in Psalm 95, which we sung just before the sermon. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah or at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. If you don't hear the voice of your shepherd calling, God says to you, you will not go into God's rest. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus tells you, you are not part of His flock. You are not one of His sheep. But for us who do hear the voice of our shepherd, who do believe in Him and follow Him, He's going to lead us into a place of rest. Which leads us to our last point. The good door. Our shepherd didn't have to climb over the wall to get to us. He goes through the door because the gatekeeper knows who he is. And he goes in to his sheep because he is the true shepherd. But better yet, Christ is the door of the sheep. The sheep enter into God's rest only through Jesus Christ. So Jesus says later in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus gives his sheep eternal life, and he brings them into his Father's house through him, the good door. In verse 9, we read that Jesus says the sheep will be able to go in and out through that door to find pasture. Well, that going in and out of the door points to covenantal blessings that God has promised to His children. Have any of you ever been grounded as a teenager? Have any of you done something where your parents said, you can't leave the house? You're experiencing covenant curses in the home. You can't go wherever you want. You have to stay put. Because you didn't obey your parents and those privileges were taken away from you. But if you do obey your parents, and you don't abuse the privileges they've given to you, you can go in and out of your house whenever you please. The door is open. You're experiencing those covenantal blessings. Those are promises that the Old Testament gave to Israel as God's sheep. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Psalm 121, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Christ as the good door is the fulfillment of those promises, going in and coming out to find pasture. The door is wide open in Christ. And that's what we're going to find when we go in and out of that door. Good pasture. Now, I'm sure immediately this text calls to your mind Psalm 23, verse 2. Where God will lead us beside still waters and cause us to lie down in green pastures. But there's other places in the Old Testament as well that speak about this pasture that God is going to give His sheep. We heard some already in Ezekiel 34. I will feed them with good pasture on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. On rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Isaiah 2 says things similar to this. the Lord says to the prisoners, come out to those who are in darkness. Appear, they shall feed along the ways, and all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water he will guide them. Beautiful images of this good pasture that our good shepherd is going to lead to us through him who is that good door. That's where we're going to be. Good pastures. Well, when we go through this door, who will be in those good pastures? Jesus tells us his one flock. In verse 16, Jesus tells his hearers, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now this would have been a huge shock to Jesus' hearers at that time, especially the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. Their whole goal was to keep the flock of God pure, to keep others out, especially Gentiles. They're not of God's sheep. That's exactly what Jesus says is going to happen. I have others who are not of this flock. They're going to come in. I'm going to make them into one flock. But that's always been the plan of God from the very beginning. Even the prophets speak to this. Isaiah 56, verse 8. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Paul makes this known in Ephesians 3, verse 6. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So people of God gathered here in Santee, California this evening, we too can rejoice that we are counted as God's sheep, even though we are Gentile sinners. We are partakers in the promise of Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. We hear his good voice, and we go in and out through Christ the door to find good pasture. And again, brothers and sisters, we have before us even this evening a feast spread in the wilderness. Even though we are pilgrims traveling through this wilderness, we have a shepherd leading us. We have a shepherd who has caused that good pasture of the age to come to break into this present evil age as we are wandering through it. He has given us bread and wine to strengthen and nourish our souls. Truly, the Lord's shepherd is a good shepherd. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for opening up your word to us this evening. To see, Lord, how you came down yourself to be our shepherd. That those shepherds that you had put into place failed you. That they turned against the sheep. They killed the sheep. They ate the flock. But Lord, you came down. You came down in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was the good shepherd. The shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And the ultimate sacrifice of his death on the cross on our behalf. For you truly did lay upon him the iniquity of us all. And for that, Lord, we are most grateful. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to again be fed here in the wilderness as we enter into that door of Jesus Christ and find good pasture. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.